Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Are You House Ready, Duval, Gainesville, USA. I am Nikki Terry, your host for this afternoon, with my co-host, Superintendent Kenyatta Feathers of Gainesville, Florida, Williams Temple. And our special guest for Ask the Expert is Lenora Foston, who is a native of Williston, Florida, ironically, the same location where our guest host, Kenyatta Feathers, is also a native. Something's going on good in Williston, Florida, I would think. She is a proud alumni of the University of Florida and Florida Coastal School of Law, where she holds her Juris Doctorate degree. She has been practicing for well over 10 years in the legal profession and is currently a assistant state attorney in the 8th Circuit District. We welcome Attorney Foston to the show today, and our topic is Know Your Rights. Thank you for joining us, Attorney Foston.
Thank you for having me.
I know Superintendent Feathers has known you for quite some time, being an activist in Gainesville, Florida, and a leader of the Purpose-Driven District. So he's come in contact with many in his advocacy and work in Gainesville and the surrounding areas. But today, our audience is going to get to know a little bit more about Attorney Foston and about our topic today, Know Your Rights. Attorney Foston, one question that comes to mind as we look at the environment that we're currently in today and the pandemic, dealing with that, dealing with Black Lives Matter, dealing with our economy, dealing with the inequities that we experience in our communities on all levels. One thing that stands out is the criminal justice system. And one thing stands out is the inequities as it relates to being able to get fair representation if you do find yourself in the criminal justice system. Many times public defenders are appointed to assist those who cannot afford an attorney or a private attorney, which normally comes to people of color, because that is something that is normally not planned for, nor is it affordable. But are the public defenders really working for us, the client, or they're working to just move the case through the court system? Has always been a question our audience had.
So certainly I have worked in Alachua County and I've worked in Levy County. And so my opinions, I won't call it advice, my opinion is based on my experience within the communities and counties that I've worked. And I will say that there is a large misconception about the public defender, ranging from I've heard people say they aren't real attorneys. I've heard a number of things about public defenders. And I will say, at least in my work and tenure in Alachua County, and in my work and tenure in Levy County, I do not believe that that misconception should continue to be widespread. They do not just push cases through the judicial system. And I would even beckon to say to you that they have closer access to the state attorneys because our offices are so close. And it's as simple as them literally walking over or calling because they have to talk to us all the time because they have a larger number of cases than the average private attorney has with us. But the ones that I've had the pleasure of working with closely fight for their clients just as hard as a private attorney. Now, I will say that their caseloads are larger, and so I can understand many people saying, well, they don't call me back as quick as they should, or it took them months to resolve my case. And I think a lot of that is just geared towards the fact that they have large caseloads because there is a large number of people that fall in that class of what we call the indigent, meaning they really can't afford a private attorney because the amount of money that they have is less than what their bills are. And so because their caseload is large, they're dealing with way more people than your average private attorney would, and that's why you're paying them the big bucks so that they can focus on solely your case. But if I had to be honest, many of the public defenders that I've worked with are sometimes even more intelligent in a certain area because they deal with more cases in that area because they deal with naturally more people.
Now, you made a good point there about the indigent population that the public defenders are working with, also that increased caseload. And when we just take a good look at those numbers, recently, you know, a report showed us that in the United States alone, 5% of our population, 25% are in prison system. The vast majority of people in prison are indigent. And if 60 to 90% of the criminal defendants nationwide can't afford their own attorneys, and that was a report in mid-2000, and the U.S. Public Defender's Office receiving more than 5 million cases, that's work overload. How can they effectively represent the population when they've already been overloaded with cases? That now, you also mentioned they learn, or their learning curve is probably higher because they've dealt with more of those. But is there a way we, the community, we, the society, can help them as far as other than not getting in the criminal justice system or our advocacy in Congress or somewhere so that we can get them more assistance because they're needed and they're needed for people who cannot afford representation. And the Constitution guarantees us that right for representation if we cannot afford it, so that we can advocate to get more public defenders so that their caseload isn't so heavy, so that they can focus more on their caseload and not have to fall short or whatever the case may be. It would inevitably, hopefully, reduce this prison population that we have, which is, of course, populated with people of color.
So I actually think that's kind of a twofold question, and I'll take it from a prosecution standpoint first. In order to reduce the amount of people in prison, I won't say that that is the responsibility of the public defender's office. And I won't even attribute it to the fact that they are oftentimes overworked. I would attribute the fact that our prisons are overcrowded to a lack of knowledge and a lack of empowerment within our communities. I think we need better resources that would prevent our young boys and girls from that first step of even getting into the criminal justice system. Because I think a lot of times we neglect to even discuss that fact, the fact that a lot of our communities just have a lack of resources, a lack of mentorship, and a lack of reaching out and just pouring out knowledge specifically to knowing your rights, things of that aspect. But so that's the first thing I want to say about that. But then to roll over into your specific question, I believe that's more of a legislative thing because that's typically done in Tallahassee. We are prosecutors as well as public defenders. We all work for the state of Florida. They determine our salaries. They determine a budget for, you know, what we get paid. And whether or not more public defenders can be hired within that budget, you know, I'm not a legislator, so I don't really know how that works, but I think that's above my pay grade. At least, and again, I'm working within the counties that I've been fortunate to work for. As overworked as they are and have been, I have seen them file the motions necessary to be filed if they believe their client needs a motion to suppress, or if they feel that their client's case should be dismissed. I've seen them file those motions. I've seen them show up to hearings and advocate for their client zealously. That's that's what I've experienced. Now, I can't speak of any other area. I do try to follow cases best I can in other areas, but I've not experienced them firsthand. What I will say is what I have seen in my county here in Levy and in Alachua County is sometimes it's not even the defender. It's the defendant. They're not reaching out to their attorney like they should. They're not showing up for their appointments with their attorney to help and assist in their case so that they can, you know, form their defense. The defense attorney can only work within the realms of the law the same way that the prosecutor can. And they have to be able to advocate for their case. And if they don't have that defendant that is coming, showing up, calling, I mean, some of them can barely even get them to show up for court. So I think that makes their job even harder, which makes the workload even harder. And so I really just believe that it starts first with more community resource, more community involvement, and then once it does cross over into they are within the criminal justice system, I believe if you work closer with your defense attorney, you would get better results.
Ms. Lenora, since I was listening and I really appreciated how you explained the public defender's position a little better, because most people, especially when they walk in, they look like disinterested and in some cases, but not knowing that these people are under pressure, dealing with a heavy caseload, you know, it goes on and on. Are there any programs that you would suggest that would be helpful for these communities, since many of these people fall into the indigent population where they can't have, you know, proper representation? Is there anything that you would suggest that would help these communities, even churches, that would help educate, especially our people, in a better way? Also, would you suggest them using a public defender, not knocking it so quick, or suggest them going and trying to find a different type of representation?
I'll answer the first question first, is what would I suggest as far as within the community? Yes, I do believe our faith-based organizations should be more involved within our community in outreach. And by that, going back to having, you know, community town hall meetings where you have a speaker, if it's once a month or twice a month, you know, having maybe a defendant who's went through the criminal justice system, who has re-entered society and is functioning now at a different level. They are not committing crime, but they've went through that system. Having individuals like that come back and speak, having them in the same location as a prosecutor, as a public defender, I believe these types of resources is what will make us stronger as a community and what would give information out abroad. Some of us, and hate to be biblical, but we perish for a lack of knowledge. It's just because we don't know. And to be able to hear it in a sense would empower people, if not to stay out of the criminal justice system, it would empower them within it to, okay, this is what I got to do to, you know, complete my sentence or to get through probation, to not go back to jail, to not do this again. At these same venues, have resources in place. There are so many resources, I know at least in Gainesville, not sure much about Levy County's resources, that provide clothes, that provide food, that would decrease some of the petty thefts you see, some of the other minor crimes. Some people need help with their children. That would decrease truancy. Just a number of things that is happening in certain areas, but I think it needs to happen more broadly and more open and more on a larger scale than what it is now. Does that answer that particular question?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because
I'll give an example for driving under the influence cases. You know, it's a statutory consequence or penalty, and within that victim impact panel, you'll get to hear from an individual who has either lost somebody to a drunk driver or that has been through that system as a defendant and they were driving under the influence and how it affected them. When you go to that victim impact panel, many times it reduces the at least the number of times that a person may reoffend, or it may keep them from offending at all, because to hear a story and it affects you in some way because you hear how it affected somebody else, sometimes that's the one thing you need in your mind to keep you from committing a driving under the influence case. And so that's the type of setting that I think should be in place for people to learn what their rights are. You know, a lot of people right now think that it's okay that when a police officer pulls me over, I can argue and I can go back and forth. And no, it's not a crime to run your mouth and to be disrespectful. That's not a crime. But many times that heightens just the environment that causes things that would otherwise not be there if you just learn to be respectful. And if the officer is doing something that he shouldn't be doing, there are laws in place to handle that, and you are not the law. So having somebody that can explain that in a forum of this is how we behave if we're pulled over by law enforcement. If they do X, Y, and Z, this is how you should respond. I think we need more forums in that respect, especially in the times we're living in right now.
Attorney Folston, as we talk about empowering our communities so that we can empower individuals, utilizing the resources that are available through our faith-based institutions and making sure that we all lend a hand in combating criminal activity, as well as being a part of bringing resources to those who may find themselves in the criminal justice systems. We have acknowledged and realized our public defenders are the ones who stand up for the vast majority of the people who are charged with crimes. And we know that they're, based on what you've told us today, they are, and what we've known, many of us have known, is that those individuals often have a feeling that the legal system is disproportionately against them because of their economic class being poor or being a person of color. And we understand now that the public defender's office is open and they are there to open to assist, waiting to assist, and oftentimes we don't take advantage of it as their clients. If we are in that situation and their clients and we're not being proactive ourselves in making sure that we stay in contact with the person who's representing us, and therefore a shortfall in our own representation because we're not doing what we need to do. So in knowing our rights, we need to also be proactive in making sure that we are involved in protecting our rights and not think it's just left on the table or the desk of the public defenders. And
right. And if I can just answer mm-hmm. that question, because in your conversation, I remembered that I didn't answer the second part of his question, which was, would I recommend private or public defender? And so I just want to make it clear that public defenders are attorneys. They are licensed attorneys. They are not just an agent
right.
of the court.
Right.
So they had to go to the same schools we did, pass the same bar we did. So they are licensed attorneys. My advice to people that ask me on the street, you know, because they know I'm a prosecutor, and if they run into some issues, I always often stop them and say, hey, especially if it's in my county, don't tell me facts because I still work for the state. And anything you tell me, we can use against you. So just hold it. Just don't tell me anything. But if you want to know if you need to go hire somebody, my advice is always, and I know some of my private attorneys are going to hate me for just a second, but it's always work with your public defender first. If you don't like what they're telling you, if you believe what they're telling you is not genuine, or you really believe that you're innocent and they're not fighting for you, then you go hire somebody. Because what I found is most people come back and they tell me, you were right. My, you know, my public defender worked for me, and he either worked out a good deal or Miss Nora, my case got dropped. Again, from a prosecutor standpoint, it's not like we see that it's a public defender and then we're just like, oh yeah, I'm a prosecutor because it's the public defender. No, at least in my county, in the prosecutors and the public defenders that I've worked with, we all, number one, care about our bar license, and number two, I zealously work for the state in prosecuting the laws as they have been given to me, and then I see that the public defenders, they advocate for their client, they raise any defenses that they can, and they ensure that as long as the client has presented something to them, I've seen them present it to me. I've seen them argue. I've seen some of their cases get dropped. Some of them get dismissed. It depends on the facts. You know, all of these are fact-driven and on a case-by-case basis. But I've never been given any reason within the counties that I've been so fortunate to work that there is any pushing of just through the criminal justice system just to see cases resolved.
You know, Attorney Folsom, when you, that last comment, pushing through the justice system just to see cases resolved, a common misconception, and I'm sure you have a comment on this, has been that a public defender is a public defender because they could not make it as a private attorney. That's why they're a public defender. So, common misconception that they could not make the cut as a DA or a private attorney, therefore they become a public defender. When that's a misconception, because many of the attorneys who I had the pleasure of meeting have said they went to law school to become a public defender.
And I have
met
many.
On that?
I have met many that have said the same thing. You certainly have to have a passion to be a prosecutor or a public defender, because as you so eloquently stated earlier on in this conversation, we don't get paid what the private attorneys get paid. And so you have to love what you do to continue to do this work day by day, because it is quite often overload, number one. And number two, you're dealing with, at least in private practice, you know, the attorney knows who they're dealing with, who's coming that day, what case they're going to discuss, what they're going to talk about. When you're a public defender and when you're a prosecutor, every day is different. I've not walked into my office not one day and it's the same as the day before or any other day I've ever experienced, because I come into contact with so many people, so many issues, so many problems and so many circumstances in the run of a day that most of the time I have to write things down just to remember what I did yesterday. So it's that concept of if people really believed that point, then we wouldn't have any public defenders. We wouldn't have anybody that would want to do that job. But they should see the fallacy in that, because there are a lot of people that actually go to law school because they want to protect this criminal justice system, in that you are innocent until you're proven guilty, and I have vowed to be the one that helps you get to that point. Again, I can't speak for any other area and what goes on there, and people have different experiences and different things that have occurred. But I would often ask people that do come and say, my public defender didn't do anything for me. And I always ask them what question. What did you do for yourself? Did you call?
That's
did
great.
You go by
mm-hmm.
their office? Mm-hmm. Did you provide them mm-hmm. with documentation of the defense you said that you had? Because you can't just walk mm-hmm. in court and say whatever you want to say. It doesn't work that way. He knows or she knows the law and what they have to present your defense. So don't tell me what they didn't do. Tell me what you did. What did you do? And if most often when I ask that one question and I have them replay what you did, they're like, yeah, I didn't think about that, or I didn't do anything. And that's a lot of sometimes how we were raised. Sometimes you have to accept self-responsibility first. And within our millennial generation, it seems that it's okay to point the finger or blame other people for something I've done, and that's not okay. We have to get rid of that thinking. If you're not okay with the public defender, what did you do to assist that situation? And if you've done everything that you should have done, then, yeah, let's talk about how bad they are. I'm cool with that at that point. But you'll find that even in private practice, which is the reason we have people, attorneys, being able to stipulate into cases, is because I will see a switch in private attorneys. You know, a person will have a private, they didn't like the public defender, so they hired a private attorney, and they didn't like what the private attorney said, so they hired a different private attorney. And what I see in that is a lack of responsibility and acceptance for what you did or didn't do.
I have one other question. Being that I'm a pastor, sometimes, you know, you almost have to be a lawyer, an advocate, a life coach, several of these things, even though we know we're not. But many times, many members come and ask several questions. Things like records being expunged, sealed, voting rights, how to restore those, and all those things. What would you say to that group of people, and how would you direct them to get those things taken care of?
It would be great if in our area we had a civic legal center. I've always imagined that maybe one day that could happen, if we could find the funding to make that happen. I really wish the Alachua County area, and I'm not sure if Duval has it, maybe they do, but it would be great to have within, especially our impoverished communities, a civic legal center where people can go to an attorney that's paid there just to ask, you know, just to answer basic questions for people on how to expunge a record. Because you can pay an attorney, and again, my private attorneys are going to hate me for saying this, you can pay them, you know, $500, $600, $1,000 to get your record expunged, but it's literally a process you can walk through by yourself. It literally takes, well, with minus coronavirus and the pandemic, it normally takes, you know, anywhere from 2 to 8 weeks to fully get it expunged off of your record. And it's something you could do yourself. But again,
wow,
it's a lack of knowledge and knowing that that's something I could do myself. And it's fairly simple if I just had somebody explain it to me. And I typically, when people ask me, I have a conversation with them. I walk them through the paperwork, and then they come back and they tell me, "Ms. Nora, thank you. That was real simple. That was real easy." And I love to hear people come back and tell me how happy they were because I was just able to simply have a phone conversation with them and walk them through it. Now, I can't do that for every single person that calls my phone, because then that would turn into my job. But if we had a center that was funded or that was, you know, given a grant to just be open and just provide people with, you know, some of the basic answers that they need. Not representation, obviously, but just some of the basic answers that they need, I believe somewhat our communities would be stronger and more empowered to just be better individuals.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And I truly believe that, you know, even though I prosecute people, I oftentimes try to stay away from calling them criminals. Because in my mind, we're all 1 5-second away from a bad decision. And if we're all honest with ourselves, some of us have even made that bad decision and just didn't get caught. And many times, oftentimes, the ones that are within the criminal system are the ones that have gotten caught. And so what we should do is not hold judgment over them, but to find what is the issue that will decrease the likelihood or decrease the chances of them reoffending. And at least within my job, that's what I try to do. I try to, and I won't say assess, but, you know, what is the root of this problem? Because if I can help the root of this problem, and helping may not be jail, It may be some program they need to go into, some resource that I can maybe provide to their public defender to help them. But what can I offer to reduce the likelihood of them reoffending? And I believe, again, within my county, our public defenders do a good job of knowing what resources are out there and even sometimes presenting it to us. You know, this is proof that this is what my client is going through. This is a program we've researched, you know, at least within my county. I've seen them actively work for their clients.
That's some good information. It comes all to one point for us in knowing your rights today and for our audience. And thank you, Attorney Folston, for expressing that passion that you have that we can see in your commentary about assisting our community and ensuring that they have the right information and the right resources and the empowerment that comes from community and faith-based institution helping our citizens to understand their rights and know their rights. And it's well known, you know, that, you know, in Florida, you know, and in America, in order to convict someone of a crime, the prosecution must prove the defendant's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Anyone who's ever looked at any attorney show, Law and Order, anything, you know that. It's never gone to law school. And if our excellent guest today, expert guest, Attorney Folston, didn't tell us. We know that without a reasonable doubt. But that's just one side of the equation. Superintendent Feathers brought up the point, what can we do? What can you do, the defendant? You have an opportunity to present evidence to support your defense. And as Attorney Folston indicated, you need to stay in contact with your attorney, be it a public defender or a private attorney. Because if you do find yourself in a situation with an officer and you're getting arrested or in a situation, one thing that is almost don't add fuel to the fire. Keep calm.
Right.
Keep calm.
You know,
don't interfere or obstruct. Is that correct, Attorney?
Yes. So it is. And I want to clarify to make sure I made myself clear. When we prosecute a case, it is 100% the state's responsibility to prove that offense beyond a reasonable doubt. You know, if the case goes to trial, the defendant has to say nothing, do nothing if they don't want to. Oftentimes that's not the way it goes, but if they don't want to say or do anything, they don't have to. So it is 100% the responsibility of the state to prove it. But in regards to working with your public defender, if you know you have a defense that would exonerate you from whatever is being alleged that you did, you should give them every ounce of it. You don't have to give it to me because it's my job to prove that you did it, but you certainly want to give it to your defense attorney because sometimes cases don't even have to end up at trial if you're innocent, you know, and your defense attorney has did everything on the front end to show us that. Many times cases get dropped before trial, before they lag or, you know, prolong or go on too long. So that's what I meant by that point. But, yes, I think the more active you are with your attorney, the better results that you would get, especially as it pertains to public defenders.
Thank you, Attorney Folston. Thank you, Superintendent Feathers, as our guest host, and, of course, our guest expert commentary coming from Attorney Lenora Folston, right out of Williston, serving you now in Gainesville, Alachua County in the 8th District. And we just want everyone to know your rights. Follow the recipe for success. If you find yourself in that criminal justice system, research your rights, know your rights, stay in contact with your attorney. There are resources available to you. As Attorney Folston stated, you can Google and online for certain information and prepare them yourselves without enlisting a private attorney, which she's already indicated she's going to get some flack about that. But it's important to know your rights, and you can get that information from any of the legal clinics that are available in your area, Three Rivers Legal, Area Legal Aid, they can assist you in researching that right. You can research it at any law library, any information. Just know your rights. That's the most important thing. And while you're researching and knowing your rights, remain calm if you find yourself in a situation. We'd like to thank our audience again for joining us on Are You House Ready? Duval, Gainesville, USA, and exploring the topics of Know Your Rights with our guest expert, Lenora Floyd, from Williston, Gainesville, and the Office 8th Circuit District for her expert commentary, as well as our guest host today, Superintendent Kenyatta Feathers. Please explore those resources that were provided. Make sure that you endeavor to reach out to Williams Temple and speak with Superintendent Feathers regarding the ex-offenders program that is currently in place and other opportunities for assistance with your legal help that you may need, as well as those mentioned by our guest expert, Attorney Lenora Floyd. Prepare yourself to embark on the virtual library with the Law Library and Google as you research information as well as forms that may can be completed yourself or with the assistance of an attorney that may not be at cost. Explore utilizing no-cost attorney services that are being offered by Three Rivers Legal or Area Legal Aid in your area. Join us next Saturday as we discuss Know Your Rights, Your Responsibilities on Are You House Ready? Duval, Gainesville, USA. Thank you for joining us and listening in. We hope to see you next Saturday. And we'd also want to thank our sponsor, Rubenstein Law, for sponsoring this segment of Are You House Ready? Duval, Gainesville, USA.